We'll reconvene for the administrative portion of the meeting. There are 7 items on consent. I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, one item on discussion. Mr. Hsu.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to discuss briefly Dakota Natural Gas. If you recall back, I think in September, they filed their tariff forms, and they also filed a contract transportation agreement with American Crystal Sugar, if you recall as well. So we're in this point where we're trying to determine the best manner in which to proceed. I know there's been a number of ideas afloated of how we'd like to present this rate case, whether public input is necessary, or if the commission, seeing that it's a newer utility trying to get established and we don't have set numbers to audit, would like to take a different regulatory approach with regards to Dakota Natural Gas.
Trying to recollect a conversation I had a few weeks back with, maybe it was with you or maybe it was with Victor, but just a couple of thoughts on that. I can't imagine anyone is going to contest outside of there's an individual supplying another form of energy locally, propane, for example, unless they would have a problem with it, but I don't think that is going to stop development. It's a good thing for consumers. Nobody's going to not like the opportunity. No one's being forced to switch from whatever they're currently using to natural gas. They don't have to retrofit their furnace the next day. They can do it as they choose. So, and then we're also looking at from a cost standpoint, it's not a large customer base at all. What, 180 to 200 households maybe in Drayton? But the large commercial customer obviously is going to take the bulk of it. But
within a few years, they do estimate that they will have 200 customers.
Yeah.
But they request that they have the opportunity to essentially get up and start operating and kind of forego some of the commission's review due to the fact that, again, some of this is going to be a little bit fluid and they're trying to get their business model established. With relating to people who might have an objection, we did already do a notice of opportunity as well. That was back in October, so the time has passed and we're in a point now where we probably need to proceed in some manner.
I personally don't think public input is applicable because it's all good, in my opinion.
Well, I was a couple things on that. As far as public input, it's a region of the state we don't get to a lot and where they don't get to participate in the things that we do of a regulatory nature very often. And so I wouldn't even object if we wanted to go up and have a public input session or just even a informal or formal hearing up there and where people in that area could come out and see their commission at work. I don't think that would be at all bad. But as for the rate, actually, so we got a new company. It's not a frequent thing. I don't know when the last time that we had a new player enter into the world of regulated utilities in North Dakota. It's not a huge customer base to spread around the costs of a full-blown rate case. And so I can see providing some latitude there to estimate something reasonable. But along the way, I seen, and I was going to refresh myself on what I had seen for the flat fixed monthly charge. Was it $8?
I'd have subject to check, Commissioner. I believe that sounds about right. That's in that range.
Something in that range. And you know, like I say, to allow some latitude to estimate and and not have it right down to the penny as we would in a full rate case and be that detailed, I'm fine with. But to have that low of a monthly flat fixed cost when all the other players in the market who actually have the benefit of having a bunch of legacy network out there as opposed to this company having to build everything fresh, it just doesn't seem reasonable to me that it would be that much lower than the established companies. And we, this commission, based on the last recent rate cases, have agreed that with the evidence that's been presented that made a case for the need for a higher fixed monthly charge. And to think that this one would be so much different without a full case and providing evidence of it, to me that doesn't seem reasonable. And it seems more of kind of a price leader kind of thing that you throw out there to sound real good to get people to make those switches. And then once they've switched their furnace over and they come back in here like the other players have done and want more per month, that just seems like the road that I can see them going on. So I guess if they're seeking something that is somewhat similar to what other known regulated entities in the state are charging, I could see providing some flexibility and avoiding a rate case. But if it's substantially different, then I feel like I need some evidence of why it's so much different.
Well, the other component is that they've presented and provided is the energy charge, which is higher than average.
And maybe to, without trying to make the argument for them or discuss, just I would anticipate that they would provide some sort of discussion that this would be more similar to what their current the customers in these rural areas would be seeing on their bills with regards to propane or other energy uses. And I think the intent is there is this, since they're differently situated, that they will bill more similarly to the services that are already being provided so that it's more easily understandable to these customers. And I think that's the general intent behind that. Again, if that's something that's a concern, we can also always revisit this going forward. But if this is enough of concern as well right now, Mr. Chairman, we certainly can address this at a hearing now too as well.
We had an informal on the PCNN, right? We have not on the rates.
That's correct.
Is that an option? Just so we can talk through it with them? An informal?
Oh, absolutely.
With the company? Yeah, because that would be a good question to ask them. And they have a negotiated agreement that's separate from us with their primary customer, correct?
That's correct, and they've already filed that.
And so, I mean, who knows what that is, but it could be covering a bulk of the infrastructure costs, which and the residential customers might be more of a bonus. I don't know, but I'm assuming just because that's sort of how it worked with the Bobcat deal. But perhaps an informal is a good. I think what we, I do agree that we should try to keep the regulatory burden low just because it is such a small endeavor, and we want to encourage companies to reach out to these rural areas that are tougher to serve in with natural gas. So I think we want to be careful not to overburden them with our regulatory costs.
So may I just, for clarification, that the two main issues then that I'm hearing then are that we would need, whether we need a public input or not, whether we need an informal or not, which it sounds like an informal is what the commission is stating right now, and where do we want that located, whether we want that in Drayton or whether we want that in Bismarck.
I don't have real strong feelings on it. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm willing to do something up there and where those people are able to reach out to us too. And if we do, I wouldn't want to do it, you know, strictly as a, it's kind of a formal thing where they don't, where the public then doesn't get a chance to provide some input. I would, if we're going to go up there, then we need to listen to them.
Sure.
But they can also monitor us too. The technology does bridge some of those miles, but I have long thought it would be nice to get up there for something if, and this would seem like a good reason to, it's something new, get our own sense for what the community reaction is to this as opposed to what the company tells us the community reaction is.
I think we would, if we went, I think we would literally have to recruit, so to speak, in
people
advance. To get people to come and, you know, whether it's the mayor, city council, try to bring some. I mean, we would literally have to. And I'm just, you know, I think of the, I went to Jamestown for the, the raid case for.
Ottertail.
Thank you. And so I drove to Jamestown thinking that would be good to, as you're saying, get out into the community. I think there was one person there, and it was promoted, and it was in the newspaper, and the notice was out, and it was shared. I think someone on that end shared on social media. So, and that was, you know, you could argue contentious because it was a rape case. So I love getting out and about. I don't have a problem at all going to Drayton. I just wonder, is there really going to be any true interest? And then what's the cost to move everyone up there?
It may be nothing, but also people in Jamestown have had electric service from Ottertail for a long time. And so, you know, it probably seems mundane to them. This is something new. Oh, geez, our community is going to potentially get natural gas. There might be a desire to reach out. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not demanding it, but if others think it's a good idea, I'm game for it too.
Well, and I guess I would be as well if the company would be open to us coming up there and having the informal type of interaction with them like we do in public hearing, you know, an informal where the public can actually, an informal is not all that different than a public input session where the company kind of presents their story and what they're doing. We can ask them questions, the public can make comments. So I guess I'm not opposed to that either. It's not a whole lot different than the company having to come here for an informal. Just that it allows the public to, and maybe the company would welcome that opportunity to talk about what it is they're going to be doing and providing and how it would work and all of that with the community again. So I don't know. Maybe we ask them their preference.
So it sounds like the commission is inclined to having an informal hearing with a possibility of public input afterwards as well in Drayton then? Is that?
I kind of defer to them.
The company?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to have to travel either way, although I think they're going to be coming out of the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. Mm. So they have to travel. If there's an informal, mm-hmm. they're going to have to hit the road either way, whether it's Drayton or not Drayton, I guess, would be a little closer for them. Or maybe it wouldn't be. No. A little closer.
Well, I guess I'm really fine with either place we do it. I wanted to throw that out as an option. But I do definitely think we need an informal, and I would need some kind of good evidence why they can do this so much cheaper than the existing companies before I'd approve one that is so dramatically different than what we have been approving and all the other natural gas cases.
Okay.
I'm good with an informal, and if we travel to lovely Drayton, I'm okay with that too.
I guess just specifically, what is the determining factor of whether we have an in Drayton or Bismarck? Is it the company's, whatever the company prefers?
Yes.
I thought it was whatever the portfolio holder prefers in my mind, so.
And he said it was up to the company.
All right.
I believe the answer is it's up to the company. Did I get the right answer out there?
Is that everything you needed for that one?
Maybe just one follow-up question, too, as well. Prior to rate cases, a lot of times there is some sort of interaction, and we normally don't have to do that between staff and the commission due to it's become so normalized. But if right now we do not have advocacy staff for this case, and I guess I was just – I would like to know whether you feel that's necessary to break off and bifurcate staff, or can we just – continue forward until we find a major issue that would require advocacy staff.
I would prefer the way you just described it personally. Again, I mean, we're talking about such a small handful of customers here that and exactly what I think you were saying, the level of regulation or regulatory interaction and how that prices back to customers, I think is a prime consideration.
From my perspective, that's all that I need at this time for this case.
I just have one comment, if that's okay. I don't really have a problem if you don't have advocacy staff. I mean, the policy says, is there a public interest that someone needs to advocate for? You ask that question, staff asks that question, you answer it. But what I would have a problem with, I think, and would advise against is if you find an issue later, you've already kind of been a commission advisor. You've already been a commission advisor up to that point, and I don't know that you can really flip to advocacy staff at that point. So you just may have foreclosed the possibility of finding an issue later and advocating for it, but, you know, you can cross that bridge then and figure out how you're going to deal with it. I just bring it up so you can be thinking about it.
Okay. If that occurred, would the only true option at that point be or viable option be someone from the outside?
That'd be possible. And there's probably going to be some staff people that aren't working on it at all.
Yeah, I was going to say. Okay, so then we could just have at least someone on staff who wasn't involved just as a backup plan?
Right.
If needed?
I think
this topic just came up, so I didn't think about it very long. But
we do this all the time in damage prevention. We have advisory staff until the time that advocacy position is taken. And so why couldn't it work in this situation where we don't have an advocacy position, but if it comes up later, staff is assigned to advocacy then?
The huge difference is there's no commission involvement whatsoever in damage prevention pretty much till the end. There's a set of rules, and there's an investigation done by staff, and staff does that little investigation and then decides if the has to take action or not, and then that's when they become advocacy staff, just like we did in Grain, which is coming up in a couple minutes to talk about. It's different here if it's a, you know, we're already working with the commission and we're already getting guidance and we're going to be doing some more and having the informal and all of that. So there's a far different environment between staff and the commission than there is in something like damage prevention. I mean, I think, like, a Jack is going to be a commission advisor, period, in this case, if it proceeds as we've talked about.
Well, we do have a new employee on board.
We do.
So,
I said we've got,
if we need
got
to,
people, yeah.
If we need to take an advocacy position, we do have a staff who has not been involved
yep.
to this point. That's an issue.
Okay. I think we beat this efficiently.
I think so, too, but I am just going to throw out one thing. We talked about the size of this entity, which I think matters to us and how we deal with the cost of our regulatory reach. But in my mind, I want to emphasize that doesn't mean a lesser effort on behalf of the consumers for whom we're regulating. Making sure that they get fair and reasonable rates and good service is just as important when there's 100 of them as in a different company where there's 100,000. So that was the only thing we have on discussion, or was there anything to be added, Dean?
My item actually belongs under discussion and scheduling, I believe. But
and I lost track of what it is, Dean. I'm sorry.
It's the AML program, fee collection, reauthorization.
Oh, yes. Okay, so number two, AML program.
Okay. Well, as you're aware, the fee collection for the AML program expires in 2021. And if it is not extended, it's basically the beginning of the end of the AML program as we know it. The fee collection consists of the mines pay a tax on coal production into the federal coffers. That money comes back to the state for AML projects. Lignite is taxed the lowest. It's at 8 cents a ton. And it provides the money that that we operate our AML program on. Said that expires in 2021. 2 years ago, I think everybody was saying, well, this will be extended.
Thank you. 2 years ago, I think everybody thought it would be extended. Right now, it's looking questionable whether it requires congressional reauthorization. There's not a lot of appetite within Congress to reauthorize. IMCC has put together some draft legislation, just basically an amendment to SMACRA, just that extends it another 15 years until 2036. It would increases the draft legislation increases minimum program states funding from $3 million to $5 million. We are a minimum program funded state, so the draft legislation would increase our funding. It removes sequestration. Right now we're under sequestration where about 7% a year is held back due to some budget amendments in 2011. And not only does it remove sequestration, but it has a provision to allow make it retroactive back to 2011, so we would get all that money back in addition. So IMCC is shopping around for somebody to sponsor the bill. I guess what I would suggest is that we, under the commissioner's names, a letter to the governor and to the congressional staff explaining what the AML program is, how it's funded, what we've done, and what's left. What's left, why it's needed. So I guess that's about all I really had on that.
So it frustrates me. I didn't know they were seeking more. I thought they would be glad to get an extension of what we have, and maybe that's the way business is done out there. But in light of the economic times, it seems like a harder reach for me to want to almost double the program than it would be to continue the program.
It's not increasing the tax. It's just the amount of money that comes in. The trust fund has grown.
But I mean, like, for the minimum recovery states like North Dakota to mm-hmm. go from $3 million to $5 million and go right. retroactive yet,
right.
It seems like a big ask. And yet, I suppose this is a common thing. They're trying to keep these all the same, I imagine.
It's all the program minimum program states that it's kind of a level playing field for them. We actually get more money back than we pay in. They have a complex formula how that we get all the tax money plus some what's called historic coal production money that comes in.
Well, I really think it's important that we do this. Because, you know, if we don't, especially the part of the program that is filling in voids underneath highways and, mm-hmm. and busy traffic places like that, it's just going to fall on the DOT then, you know. And it'll probably then typically be done when you pull the car out of the hole.
Right.
And the victim's out of the car, as opposed to doing it before anything ever happens and you don't mm-hmm. even have to resurface your road. So I think it's important that we do it. I think it's sad that we're even asking for retroactive money, but mm-hmm. here's my question on it. Does it emphasize that if extended, the money would be used for AML programs as right. opposed to some of the other things we've all heard certain mm-hmm. federal elected officials talk about using it for?
Right.
Is that mm-hmm. emphasized in there?
Yeah, we could, you know, our recommendation would be, you know, whatever.
Because I certainly am not in favor of taxing these coal companies to go do every other thing that somebody can dream up for some kind of economic development.
There's been, you know, proposals similar to that in the past, and some have gone somewhere and some haven't.
What about the companies? Are they fine with?
I haven't heard much from.
Are they the ones that are behind the, like, let's not do this anymore?
The National Mining Association is opposed to it.
Opposed to what?
To the reauthorization. The companies that operate in the state haven't said much.
Well, nothing's going to get done in this Congress anymore. Why don't we just kind of table this for now, make sure we don't forget, bring it up at another meeting.
Sure.
Maybe after this discussion, a little feedback to you all, because I'm sure they're listening. But, I mean, North Dakota's got a big problem out here in coming years if we don't have this program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, the projections are that there's enough money in the trust fund that we would have money for 6 to 7 years afterwards, so 2021 would be 2027, 28, somewhere in there, but provided that that's what all the money in the trust fund is used for. It's awful tempting. It's several billion dollars sitting there that is tempting to use for other things.
Let's see what kind of feedback we get.
Okay.
Bring it up again. Okay, then we will actually move to discussion. Or to scheduling, I mean. And so number one is checked off. And okay, number two I put on here, and since then there's been some more things that fall into this. The budget and directors meetings for the 19th, if you recall, are scheduled for the budget meeting from 2 to 3 and the directors meeting from 3 to 4. Since then, one of the dates that Conrad threw out as a possibility of a time for the work session that is number 3 on our scheduling was the 19th. And so, to me, that would work fine to put that all together. Except, I just wanted to point out, I also got in the mail, I'm sure the others did too, invitation to the Theodore Roosevelt Rough Rider Award presentation to Clint Hill that is the 19th. If commissioners are intending to go to that, we need to change our budget and directors meetings. I am fine with keeping our budget and directors meetings. I just wanted to see if this was a conflict for others.
It is a conflict for me.
What time is that thing? That I had kind of looked at the schedule and decided I couldn't go. But
it's at 1 o'clock, so it throws off both of our things.
I need to. It's something I have to go to.
So what we really need to have on the scheduling is our budget and directors meetings.
What time do you have to leave to be there for the 1 o'clock? Noon?
Noon, yeah.
So we could do morning things, or was there a reason why we haven't done anything in the morning there?
Oh, good point.
Because we could sure move those to the morning unless we were avoiding that morning for some reason.
Okay, so morning of the
19th.
Well, we had it. Oh, right. Yeah, if we could move.
Would you guys be comfortable doing all three of these things back to back to back?
Like 9, 10, and 11?
We might actually have pretty more on our director's meeting and such, too, as we.
Was the 16th an option for the weights and measures deal?
I was hoping the 19th worked better, but that's why I wanted to bring up this Roosevelt thing.
The 16th.
I mean, our budget. Our budget and director's meeting. Can we combine them so we don't have to break? Like, could we say like 10:30 to noon, and the budget's first, and then the director's meeting?
Well, and you can say 10:30, and the other one is right after the end of the first one.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
You can shorten your budget meeting to a half hour.
Or even 15 minutes.
It'll deprive you of your quality.
We had a half hour previously, and then as we moved along, we thought maybe we'd want an hour, so then it got extended to an hour. But if you guys are fine with a half hour.
I think we might all be a little concerned with depriving you of the full hour of joy that that meeting brings you.
What about starting the, because I don't think that medical marijuana work session is going to be real long.
No. Shouldn't be.
I mean, to me,
it's all there already. Right. Maybe you don't need one.
Half an hour. Start that at 10. Schedule the budget at 10:30, and then the director's meeting immediately following.
I like that.
Or should we start at 9 already? Every time the last few directors' meetings, we've gone long, and then whoever the last ones were didn't get much opportunity either. And if there's some legislation this time, so how about if we do. The marijuana thing at 9,
mm-hmm.
and the budget meeting at 9:30, and the director's meeting to follow the budget meeting.
Okay.
So just to be more specific, so at 9 o'clock would be the weights and measures issue.
Yes.
It's a weighty one.
And budget is 9:30, and then directors follows whenever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that takes care of number 2 and number 3. I gotta get rid of this one because I carried over my old one because I had some notes on there.
We do number 7 next.
Is that what Casey's waiting on? Yeah, we should have done that earlier. Okay. Number 7, the Metalark Wind informal hearing.
So, to move this along, can we? I'm gone at NARUC Sunday through Wednesday of next week, but so the 15th and 16th would be open for me. I don't know if you guys are around next week at all.
The 15th is good for me. I am out the 16th.
Um, 11 o'clock on the 15th?
Sure.
How much time do you think?
I would just make it an hour just to be safe.
Okay, 11 o'clock, November 15th.
Could you make that in the afternoon?
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's a Thursday.
1 o'clock, Jerry? Does that work for you?
No, I have League Night Research Council from 1:30 to 3:30. I can come back after that's over, though. If we get done, I mean, that goes until it's done. Not till a certain
does it usually
time on the wall, but it's usually done after 2 hours.
Okay.
So
could we
do that at 4?
Sure.
I've spoken with the company. I believe that date will work for them as well.
That would work?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's a good plan. And then they'll make a presentation of their rationale and what it, exactly it is they're asking for. And you guys will have looked at it and have some guidance as to what is or isn't allowed under our laws and rules. Okay.
This is number 7, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Then number 4, scheduling these meetings, usually the chairman brings a list forward, and so I didn't put this on here.
I put it on. I just wanted you to be aware of that.
I send that out so that you guys have a chance to think about it.
Okay.
And so
we'll do it the next time.
Address that at a future one. And so that brings us to number 5 and 6. I don't know, do these end up going back to back?
They could be together. They are two separate issues, but we could do
the same people here, though.
It can be the same work session. We could just notice them together.
Do you have a proposed date?
I lost my my screen has disappeared. I see that. So the modern age of electronics doesn't always. No, I don't. I think the work session wasn't.
Well, those are issues that have been kind of, there's out
yeah.
there. And so I was just hoping we could get together and talk about them again and see.
Okay.
Where we're
yeah.
at.
No, and I think that's a good idea, but no, I didn't have a date.
How time is that something we want to do in the next week or so, or is that something we want to do in December?
We could probably do it in December. I mean, they've been sitting out there quite a while.
Well, and the other part was moving up the DOE settlement and the one time. These were all bundled.
Right.
And
so
that,
we took care of that.
Yeah, let's break them apart so we have more flexibility and people weren't waiting for their refund.
Yeah.
Well, my thought was, I don't know if everything is ready that quickly, but we bypassed the morning of Thursday, November 15th, but I don't think Jerry would be involved in these two cases. So if we wanted to put it there, I think that one sounded like it was open for everyone else.
I'm not opposed to that. I also know that we...
Jerry is... the lead staff person on those cases.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, no. Yep.
Yep.
Okay. So then we maybe, what about the weekend, the week after Thanksgiving or?
What day is Thanksgiving first, this year?
22nd.
It's a Thursday.
It's the third Thursday of November this year.
Okay, great.
Just a bunch of comedians in this.
I need to be more specific, apparently. The week of the 26th through the 30th, I am potentially gone.
You know what happens on years when Thanksgiving falls on Thursday? The following, a few months later, Super Bowl then falls on Sunday.
Wow.
Okay, so the 26th to the 30th does not work.
And does the 4th of July end up on the 4th of July? That was yours, too.
I think so. Painful.
And then that following week is the legislative organizational session, followed by Thursday's our meeting, and Friday we will be in Linton. So that one's out.
We're in the first week of November.
We're up to
December, I mean.
December 10th through the 14th.
Boy. What happened to that week before?
Well, there's a legislative organizational session, followed by our meeting, followed by Emmons Logan Wind.
Boy, none of that's on my calendar.
It's because you need one of these.
Emmons Logan Wind is the 7th? That is on my calendar.
Yep.
Got to go back to paper, huh?
It's all on mine.
I just
lost that attachment. I didn't lose it, but I didn't want to have to pull it back up.
Well, the 10th, 11th, and 12th are... The 10th and 11th, I'm out.
Okay, the 12th, we have MISO and SPP.
Yep.
13th is the Christmas party.
Jeez. 14th isn't looking good.
On the 14th, we have
what about
a legislative meeting.
What about 2 o'clock, 2-ish on the 13th? Because isn't the Christmas thing at noon?
Well, there's going to be some cleanup involved and stuff.
Well, I know, but I mean, move a few crock pots and put at 2 o'clock. When,
well, maybe 2:30.
Okay, yeah, but why not that afternoon? I it doesn't have to be 2. 2:30 is fine as well.
Yeah.
I may be a little sleepy after eating as much as I plan to eat. But
let me just, and that's okay with me. The other alternative is the next day we have a legislative meeting. But we can't. We change that, right? The one.
It's not on the 14th.
It's not on the 14th anymore.
No, okay. It's on the 13th.
Yeah, because I think I had the one that had the conflict that day.
13th so. At 9 o'clock.
You don't have a conflict anymore on the 14th?
Well, I still kind of do, yeah.
So I might as well. So.
Let's go with the 13th in the afternoon. I don't know how late we can go with that, because we don't want to interfere with.
Yeah, let's say 3. 3 should be good, plenty of time.
Yeah, I mean, any time in the afternoon.
And that'll be for both of these?
Both of them.
Yeah.
3 o'clock on the 13th.
I mean, nothing shouts Christmas like fuel clause adjustment waivers.
Anything else for scheduling? No. We are adjourned.